Hello, and no, I'm not doing that today.
Hello, and welcome back to the Couples Guide to Stranger Things podcast. I'm Shan.
And I'm not Shan this time. I'm back to being me, Timothy.
And this is Tom. And we're just a couple of super fans who met through our love of Stranger Things.
So you know how we said we were talking about the gate last time? Yeah, we failed. It was my 11 reunion instead.
So yeah, we lied.
We lied.
Badly.
Yeah, friends do lie sometimes.
Yeah, but so, for good reason.
Yeah, for completely sane, not like super obsessed or anything like that reasons. So, I think it's about time we try and fix that.
That's what
this episode is.
Chapter 9, The Gate.
Continued.
Shall we dive in?
Let's do that.
So, I just want to start by saying that yes, the last episode did become the Malevin reunion. I will acknowledge that. But we did also cover Hopper and Mike's argument and Malevin. Again.
I know. I knew you were going to say the almost kiss and Malevin, but that's Malevin anyway.
Yes. But still, it's not the reunion.
No, it's the reunion and friends.
And Hopper.
Yeah. A reunion and then just like a little bit on the side, a little sprinkle of salt.
Well, that's it, you know, like, we're Malevin obsessed, okay? We admit it. You all know it.
That's the reason we're in the same room right now, on the same side of the country, with two kids.
That's true. I'm worried about how this podcast is going to go, because it's not even 10 o'clock yet, and I feel really tired. You know when you're tired and you're a bit, you've got a bit of hysteria?
So you mean me on every episode of this damn podcast?
Maybe.
Because I'm pretty sure that's me. In a nutshell.
I'm the problem, it's me.
No, it's me.
So, I'm going to try my best to focus, but also not be boring. It's really hard.
There is no focus when it comes to us.
And you know what? This episode is far from boring, so I really hope this podcast isn't boring.
We surely can't make it boring.
I hope not.
With this episode, even though we've covered the most important part, except for one.
Yes.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I really don't think it could be boring.
No. Well, that's it. We go in then straight with Hopper is in the car with Elle. They're driving to the lab. And he basically wants to know where the hell she's been.
Exactly, because where on earth did this quote-unquote bitchin' outfit come from?
Yeah, like she's suddenly a punk. He leaves her in her dungarees and her oversized shirts, and now she is a punk.
Yeah, and he does say he's digging the look, by the way.
Yeah. And I like that finally he's had some maturity and growth, and he's not just like telling her off, like, where the hell have you been?
Just to lose it later.
Yeah, but that's not in this season, so we can't blame season two Hopper. And she says that she's been to see Mama. And the look on his face.
Yeah, that look of, oh crap, I screwed up.
Yeah. And I think he's so shocked by what she said that I'm not mad at him for not apologising at that moment about like he's just so shocked that she said that, because he doesn't immediately go to sorry. He goes to, so, you know, you went to see Mama and what, your Aunt Becky gave you those clothes?
Yeah, he knows for a fact this outfit, this makeover did not come from either Terry or Becky.
No.
So he knows there's something missing in the equation. And I would love to know if Elle has ever mentioned that to either him or Mike or anyone else.
That's it, because Elsie and Collie, like, it doesn't seem to be something she has discussed. I mean, it's very possible, especially Mike, that she has spoken to him off camera, if you will.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I hate how much we miss between seasons. And I just thought, I'm sure in season three, hanging up on the wall in Elle's bedroom is the mask she has with the Callie
gang. It is, yeah.
So, unless it's just something she hasn't said where she got it from.
Yeah.
That's on display for everyone to see. So, maybe she's mentioned the Callie crew?
I don't think she has, because I've said to you, haven't I, like, the reaction we get from Hopper when she says that a nice man in a big truck gave her a lift to go and see Mama and her aunt Becky, I really want a scene in season five where she's like, you know, I need to find Collie, and like Hopper's like, who the hell's Collie? And then she's like, my sister. Well, you know, my sister in the lab. And he's like, what, you remember her? No, when I went to Chicago. And he's like, when did you go to Chicago?
Why am I only hearing this now? Yeah. Ooh, that was loud.
But yeah, I just love to see her face be like, oh, when, you know, I was going to say in season two, but I highly doubt Elle would go, I went in season two.
Bit of a fourth wall issue there. That's just a Deadpool line.
Just a bit, yeah. That is a Deadpool line, you're right. Yeah, she'd like look down the camera as well and be like, in season two, of course.
If you remember.
In the episode that no one talks about.
Previously on Stranger Things.
But yeah, I'd love to see his face with her very casually just being like, yeah, when I went to Chicago.
Yeah.
And I took a bus by myself. And
yeah, his eyes just grow and be like, right, when were you planning on telling me that?
But it does show, going back to that scene with Hopper, like, there's a lot of growth, like I said earlier, because he says to her, you know, I shouldn't have lied to you about your mama.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he did. That's it.
She's then able to say, I'm sorry too. You know, like, we've got some... Oh, we've just got a strengthening in relationship.
Strengthening heart-to-heart between these two. Cause,
yeah, communication.
Yeah, exactly. Communication is something they're very much lacking in the future. But yeah, it's a moment that Elle gets to reflect on how she's been. But more so Hopper reflecting on how he has been and realising, you know, yes, he just wants the best for her, but he perhaps hasn't taken the best route.
No.
With everything, you know. Lying about Terry, obviously, that's his main regret here. But I think from the whole Mike argument earlier, I think he does regret the way he handled Mike as well.
Yeah, and...
More so just friends in general.
Yeah, and he does say to her, you know, I'm just afraid that... He's basically telling her he's afraid of he's going to lose her. And then he says, you know, like, Sarah, like the black hole, you know, got her. And then that's such a powerful moment because Elle's like, who's Sarah?
Yeah, and he realises he hasn't mentioned her yet. And that's a shock to his system, I think.
Yeah.
That he hasn't brought her up at all. I think he realises how...
closed off he's been?
Either closed off or how Elle has filled that void in such a way that he hasn't had the need to mention Sarah.
Yeah. Almost like he's been pretending that she is Sarah.
Possibly.
I don't mean in like a like bizarre way.
Yeah,
but not like,
a sadistic way, like replacing. Yeah. But she's filled that void by having Sarah...
And he almost doesn't want to lose her again, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. Because obviously he never really let go of Sarah because he's like in season one and parts of season two, he's talking about Sarah as if she's still around.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm trying to think, when he's beating up the guy who apparently did the post-mortem for Will.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying his daughter won a spelling bee.
Mm.
It's like, no, she didn't, but... That's it. He continues talking about it as if she's still around. So he never wanted to let go. And I think Elle being around now fills that void. And like you say, he just doesn't want to lose his daughter all over again.
Yeah, and I think finally him opening up, it softens Elle. Because she's still angry when she gets into the car with him. You can tell.
Yes, yes.
And now that he's finally opened up and he's apologised, you just see like a weight lift off her shoulders as well. And she can already see that they are going to...
Thinking about it.
Be in a better circumstance now.
Yeah, this is probably the first time an adult has apologised to her for anything. Ever.
Yeah.
Thinking about it.
Yeah, I'd say you're right. Because, yeah, I can't think of who else that it would be.
No. Like, obviously, none of the lab are ever going to apologise for anything.
No.
Ever. Harper wouldn't have apologised for anything previously, I don't think. Apart from, like, you know, the little, like, oh, I'm sorry, kid, or whatever like that. You could, like, he, saying that as a reaction to when he tells her that Terry's gone or whatever.
Yeah.
But never an actual apology.
No.
So, I think this, yeah, makes her realise that maybe it's not a case of him being the absolute dictator in this family that
yeah.
they've got. And they are a bit on a level playing field. They're a team in this. And it's not just what he says goes. Because that just doesn't work like that.
It's a big realisation moment for them both.
I think so, yeah.
And obviously while that is happening and they're having that moment, like everyone is almost like parting ways here. Because that's happening, and then we've got Nancy and Jonathan and Joyce taking Will to the cabin. And poor Mike is back at the buyer's house feeling like such a wasted part.
Yeah, that's it. He's pacing up and down the room, isn't he? And
yeah.
He can't rest because he knows what Elle's going into.
Yeah.
He's been there. He's... Yeah, he's seen them, so...
Yeah, and I think, obviously, we know, spoiler alert, that his and the party's intervention obviously helps.
Yes.
But I think Steve has got a good perspective, really, with the sports game. Like, Steve knows that sometimes you don't always have to be the hero. Sometimes yeah. your part is being on the sidelines.
Just in case you're needed.
Yeah. yeah.
Exactly, you're the backup. That's always a valuable thing to have.
Yeah.
But obviously, like you say, I don't think this whole thing would have worked out if they hadn't gone to those tunnels.
No, definitely not. And that's it. He says to Steve, this isn't a stupid sports game. And they have their own issue going on here now, because while they're arguing about wanting to help with what's going on with Will and what's going on with Elle...
Vroom, vroom.
Vroom, vroom, indeed. We have got the arrival of Billy.
Uh-oh.
And some very poorly hidden teenagers.
Yeah. Honestly, like...
Poor Steve didn't have a chance, did he?
He did not have a chance at all. Like, with these kids being the nosy little brats they are, there was no chance he was getting away with this. I think, obviously, if they weren't in the window... I think it'd be a little strange that Steve was at the buyer's house anyway.
Yeah.
Like, that's... Why are you here? But I feel like Steve could have come up with a solution, you know. He was sorting something in the house for Joyce.
Yeah.
Or whatever like that. But, yeah. Everyone peeking through the window. Very obviously. And it's like I said to you before, you can see this from Billy's perspective.
Yeah, he's arrived at the house. Yeah.
He's arrived at the house. Steve's there. And then he's lying about the kids being there when they're staring at him through the window. Yeah, he's right that it's a bit on the creepy side.
It is a bit,
that he's
yeah.
lying about him being there. So you can understand that from Billy's perspective for once in his life.
For once, yeah. But almost works out perfectly for Billy, because then he gets... an excuse to use his brutality.
Yeah, Billy loves a fight, and you know he'll always strive for one. And
brilliant acting by Dacre in this.
Always,
because Billy just goes off.
He does. He's always a top-notch actor. Like always up there in the rankings. Like from the second we saw him,
yeah,
step that boot out of the Camaro.
Yeah. Well, like I said, like as he. literally punches Steve into the house kind of thing. He doesn't even notice how the house is presented. Yeah. He's so enraged. He so zones in on Lucas especially.
Exactly. Like, that's it. As soon as he walks through the door, he sees Max there, but his eyes just zone in on Lucas and nothing else matters.
Yeah.
Just the fact that Max is there and so is Lucas.
He's such a frightening character because obviously, you know, he goes for Lucas and Steve intervenes and he literally pummels Steve, punches him, like, he's laughing sadistically. And I do wonder if, would he have ever stopped?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. I don't
think there was any hint of wanting to stop.
And he literally could have killed him.
Well, from the amount of punches that Steve got, the fact that there's no brain damage there,
yeah,
or just damage in general, is amazing.
Like, it is, and yeah, it's quite, I mean, obviously, like, it works out for the best, but yeah, he is such a dangerous character, so amazingly portrayed by Dacre.
Absolutely.
And fortunately for all of us, you know, Billy is absolutely punching the you-know-what out of Steve. And
Max saves his life.
Max saves his life because I think she watches on and she's just like,
enough. Yeah.
I'm never going to be safe. Like, no matter where we move to, he's always, always going to pose a risk to me, to my friends. Destroy
whatever we have.
Exactly.
Like he says, whenever his own line, you know what happens when you lie. Yeah. I break things.
Yeah.
And he's always going to break whatever they have, wherever they go.
Yeah, and, you know, thankfully she sees that there's a spare, I'm guessing, some sort of strong sedative or whatever they had used on Will. And, yeah, injects him. Mm-hmm. And then she right gets that bat.
Yeah, and she swings for the only place that Billy cares about, on his own body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have just got an inch wrong there.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, little Billy.
Oh, dear.
But no, yeah, she's really strong here, and, you know, she's like, you know, from now, you leave me and my friends
exactly
alone.
This is the moment that...
Do you understand?
Do you... No, say you understand. Yeah. And...
But you can tell she's clearly... Well, I know we kind of see it in the car with him, but she's clearly repeating what he has probably said to her 100 times. Yeah,
exactly. Like Lucas was saying to her on top of the bus that one time, she's nothing like him.
No.
But there's a hint of Billy in the way that she talks to him here, I think.
And I think that is on purpose. I think that's on purpose. Yeah. I think she's saying, you think you can talk to me like this? Well, guess what? I'm going to talk to you exactly, like this.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. I'm not saying that she's now going to go around talking to other people like that. But it's just pretty much making Billy look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, you think you own me? Well, watch this.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, brilliant move by Max. And Billy's out cold.
That he is. And so is Steve.
Yes. And that's it. We never really find out what happened with Billy after this scene. I know other people have as well, but I've written in fan fiction that they got back to the buyers, like everyone's got back to the buyers, and Jonathan and Steve have like took Billy's car with Billy in. One of them's followed in the other car, and they've basically dropped him off of his car, like left him there outside of the outside of Max's house, basically.
Yeah.
Just left him there.
Yeah.
Because I imagine, yeah, they wouldn't want him to wake up in the buyer's house.
No, I don't think that would go very well.
No.
Unless, of course, Hopper's the one that transported him out.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good one as well. Yeah. Hopper can take him home. Although, I don't think we would have seen Billy in season 3 if his dad had figured that one out.
Yeah, I think Neil would have a lot to say about that.
Although I'm not going to lie, I'm now thinking to myself, oh God, like, what was the reception like for Max when she got back to the Mayfield house? But We will not know.
No, we shan't. It shall be forever skipped over unless they decide to fill in these weird spots that we think about.
It would be weird for them to go back that much to fill them in, but I would love it if they did.
It depends on how they fill it out.
It was like an animated series.
If it was an animated series, if it was more comics or books, we need fillers for these important moments. Obviously, the reception getting back home at the Mayfield house, that's not one I really think needs filling. But
no.
Little obvious things.
Mike and Elle reuniting again.
Exactly.
Another reunion.
That's it. It's just all of these things need filling, in my opinion. And I would love for the spin-offs to include that.
Yeah, me too. But we'll see, we'll see. I mean, I doubt it, to be honest. But
well, this is it. I don't think they'd ever get actors to do it. But as an animated thing, like, even if they handed it off to another studio to handle, it just has to happen.
Or we just got to write a load more fan fiction.
Yes, fan fiction's great, and so the books, but I wish there was some visual to it as well.
Yeah, I do agree.
That's the only downside to reading, is I say I prefer it. Obviously, you get such a story from reading anyway.
Yeah.
But I do prefer visuals.
Obviously, of course.
So,
because they're most likely...
Hear me, suffer brothers.
A lot more authentic, aren't they? Of course.
That's it. Even if it is animated.
Well, this makes everyone laugh. So we've got now, you know, Steve's out cold, and Max, Lucas, Dustin and Mike, because Mike had the idea of lighting up those tunnels. They're like, right, let's go do it. Steve's out cold, we'll bring him with us.
Exactly, that's it. As soon as Billy's out cold, Max just holds up the keys to the Camaro and is like, right, we're going, let's go.
Yeah, and that is a good point, actually, about that moment, because finally we have a moment where Mike is like, whoa. Like, he's finally impressed with her and finally like, okay, I think she may be able to be in the party.
Yeah, exactly. That's the turning point of him realising, okay, she's a valuable asset to the party. Like,
she wants to help.
Exactly. She's on our side. My girlfriend's back now. I can stop being a little a-hole to this girl, because she's starting to earn her keep.
Exactly. And that's it. Max certainly does, because she drives them to the field where the vines are. And Steve is coming around in the car.
Nancy?
Exactly. It's all a blur. Yeah, he can see someone next to him. And that is such a funny moment, because the look that Finn does when Steve is like, to Mike, Nancy? He's like, what?
Yeah, he's like, do I really look like my sister? No.
Obviously, Steve coming around, he's really funny.
And the way that Dustin talks to him as if he's a baby.
I know. I know, he's just like, shh, Steve, shh.
Ella, it's okay.
And he's like, no, when, you know, turn around.
As soon as he realises they're in a moving car.
Yeah, and that Max is driving. Oh, God, it's so funny. It's a brilliant scene.
It is.
It's given me ideas now about, like, our next episode of the podcast, where we say about favourite actors, favourite characters, favourite moments. It's making me think.
I'm really struggling at the moment. I really need to properly think about that.
No, I'm starting to get some ideas as to who I'm voting for. So they get to the pumpkin patch, and Steve is absolutely adamant that they turn around, they go back. I think Dustin's really good at talking to him. You know, he's saying, a party member needs our assistance. You know, you said you'll look after us, you know.
So look after us.
Yeah.
That's once they're out of the car.
Yeah,
once
I know, but
they arrive,
Steve is arguing, like, there's no chance, you know, we're going to go home.
Yeah, and Dustin just shuts him up.
Yeah.
He's like, listen, this is happening. You either follow us or you don't.
Yeah. And then they get into the tunnel, and Mike's got his little hand-drawn map. And to be fair to Mike, I think he would have led them fine. But yeah. Steve is like, no, I'm going to be in charge.
Yeah, and I'm going for... Well, to be fair, he's playing protector.
Yeah.
Going in front. But that doesn't stop Mike from getting his leg caught by a vine.
No. I mean, that does happen a little later, I think. But what does happen at this point is Dustin gets sprayed. And yeah. His voice break of a lovely swear word that we all love to say. He's repeating that constantly.
Yeah.
His voice is breaking, high pitched, just wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
Just and then pure suddenly,
gold. Oh, I'm okay.
I'm fine.
His lips are inflamed. But
yeah. But otherwise. Funnily enough, this was one of those moments, isn't it, that we've said about where we wondered what was going to happen with him and Hopper because of that spray.
I'm amazed they haven't dived into that more, because with Hopper and Dustin, they seem to make it such a big thing that they get sprayed in the face.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a little side moment. It focuses on that happening. So I really thought that they were going to have side effects lingering from this.
Yeah.
Sort of like you imagine Will and his little spidey sense neck tingling in season 3. But I was expecting something along those lines.
Yeah. Or,
well, I was thinking more negative, really, but...
Yeah, me too. And the thing is, a part of me is like, maybe it'll somehow come up in season 5 as some sort of infection and link to Vecna and the Mind Flayer. But honest to God, I think, just like Will's birthday, I think it's going to be something they've forgotten about.
Either forgotten about or they decided, no, it's nothing, it's just they got sprayed in the face and it...
Yeah.
You would cough if you were sprayed by water in the face.
Yeah, and to be honest as well, I suppose that there are certain things where you start to set up in your story, like, I'm not comparing myself to the Duffer Brothers level of writing, but...
No, they're even, far below you.
Even I... That was so good. I'm sure everyone believes that. But
as they should.
But there are, like, things that I've started to set up in stories, and then as you go along with it, you're like, nah, that doesn't make sense anymore. I think it'd make more sense if we went in this direction. So it could have been something that they did plan on having affect them, but then they were like, no, we're going to go down a different route here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, that's... if it is something like that, I hope it's something we find out about as the seasons finish. I would love to know. A bit like when Harry Potter finished, there was lots of Q&As and stuff, and I remember, like, J.K. Rowling had said, like, you know, Harry and Hermione were actually meant to be a couple, but it was the fact that Ron and Hermione were fan favourites that became something. And
yeah.
It'd be great if there was some sort of Q&A with the Duffer Brothers, where people could be like, was this always the ending you meant? Or was this going to happen? What was going to happen here? I would love that. To, like, really get into depths about...
I'd love that.
What was meant to happen, what, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Exactly, yeah. Because, like we say, for sure, I don't... Like we say all the time, even, I don't think they were always planning Vecna to be a thing.
No.
Like, from season 1. Maybe season 2 they started it, but then the Mind Flayer seems too strong an entity of its own.
Yeah.
So it's not almost as if Vecna was only decided for season 4, personally. Mm. I can sort of imagine it just being that decision there and then. Like, season 3, you know, it's still very much just the Mind Flayer.
Yeah.
And there's no hints to there being another entity controlling that.
And the thing is, this might just be my personal opinion, but I think that's as well because the Mind Flayer is scary, but it's scarier within an entity, if you know what I mean. It's scarier within a human form.
I see what you mean.
Rather than it is as just a dark cloud. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that they did maybe think, you know, of Vecna later on, definitely.
Yeah.
But it would be lovely to get their actual thoughts, because for all we know, they might be like, no, Vecna was always planned, you know.
Yeah,
it'd be
yeah.
great. It'd just be great to have, like, a proper Q&A with them.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love it.
Because I don't think they've ever really done one.
Not to the extent we're talking here.
Yeah, not to the extent of the series being finished completely. Yeah, that is something I really hope we get at some point.
Well, Netflix, we're open to do it if you want.
Yeah. Although you say, what, as in us hosting it?
Us being the ones asking the questions, yeah.
I don't know how well that would work, because my voice would be shaking and I would be crying. And
I don't think they'd have us record the second we meet them. I think they'd let us get over that first.
They'd be like, please let us get over our fangirling and fanboying.
Oh, and let me get my anger out as well.
Yeah. That's it. Depends on what they've done. I might never want to speak to them again.
Oh, there's anger anyway. Season 3, Hopper, and forgetting Will's birthday.
Yeah. We'll be like, please let us first of all get our frustration out, shout at you, and then we will fangirl and fanboy all over.
And then we can finally be professional enough to record this Q&A thing.
Yes. Yeah, very much open to it then, Netflix. Because, of course, you are listening.
Of course you are. Why wouldn't you?
So, what's happening at the same time as, you know, Mike and the gang down in the tunnels, and the Will and co, I'm going to say, are in the cabin.
Yeah.
We've got, Elle has finally reached the lab with Hopper. And again, another Millie classic with that look she can do. Elle just looks up at that lab and you just feel so many emotions for her.
Yeah.
Like, I feel so, so sorry for her that she has had to go back there. I can feel her fear. And I just want to, like, protect her from it. You can just see that that's the last place in the earth she wants to be. But she's so incredibly brave. And that's another emotion that comes through when I just see her look at the building.
She is so brave and so selfless.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this place has kept her locked up for 12 years.
Yeah.
Pretty much her entire life. And as soon as there's a task that needs doing to save the rest of the world, save her friends and family, and like I say, pretty much the earth, she's gone straight there without a second thought.
Yeah.
There's not a moment of hesitation in her. And yes, she stands there looking at it like, am I really here? What am I doing? But there's not a moment of hesitation. She would never look back and think, no, I'm not doing it.
No.
Because she knows she's the only one who can.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she's the one that needs to do this.
And that's the thing, like, knowing what we know from season 4 as well, she's got all these emotions, but she's also got in her subconscious so much PTSD trauma that she's hiding from herself about what has taken place in that lab. Like, there's so many complex emotions going on, and entering that lab, yes, with Hopper by her side, is still horrific, because as she goes in there, you know, you've got bodies and...
Yeah. Oh. Well, depending on which way they went in, they've got Bob right there. And then they've got all the staff of the building. And yeah, exactly. And so she's having to go through potentially reawakening those memories, like you say.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the rainbow room covered in blood.
Yeah, it's just terrible. And obviously they come across Sam in the, like, hidden in a stairwell. He's had his leg nipped. Yeah. I'm like, how did he get through? He must have done something, like, he's managed to get through a doorway and maybe he's kicked it. He's kicked the dog and it's got his leg.
They haven't lit the tunnel on fire yet, have they?
No, that's not happened yet.
No, because I was wondering if, like, the dog that nipped his leg then got distracted by something, but...
No.
Yeah, he managed to, like, kick it through a door and just get away from it, sort
of
thing.
Yeah, he's, like, booted it or something with his foot, and then it's obviously bit at him as he's shut or locked whatever door he's managed to get through, maybe.
Yeah.
But he's had a close call, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
So he's done well. But yeah, Hopper sees him and stuff, and he's quite casual as he binds up Sam's leg, and Elle slowly comes into shot, and Sam is very much in shock. That's it. I don't believe that Sam was at that lab when all the stuff with Brenner's happening, because of what he says to Nancy about, you know, the people that were in charge, you know, they're in The people that were responsible for, like, Barbara Steph are gone.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he was there.
But he, of course,
knows who she is.
Exactly. And I suppose, like he says too well in season 4 when they get to the Nina Project, she's a bit of a celebrity to them. And I imagine she was a bit like that to him before this moment. Like, I imagine they've all heard of her.
Yeah, definitely. And,
you know, there's one remaining kid out of the whole project. And here she is.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do love the way that Hopper's pretty much just talking matter-of-factly. Like, maybe once all this is all done, you can give her a normal life where she's not a lab rat. She's not poked and prodded.
Yeah, because he admits, he's like, you know, oh, this is 11 and she's been living with me for about a year. And, you know, it would be nice if she could live a normal life, he says as he bands the leg even tighter. And, you know, he says she's about to save everyone. And in that moment, yeah, there is an unwritten look between them, an unsaid look that, yeah, you will protect her.
Yeah.
You're going to help her because she's going to help all of us.
Exactly. Without her, you know, the world will be done.
Yeah. So that is a very important scene. And then we go to the cabin and it is like Nancy says herself, she's like, oh, it's kind of nice here, you know. They're quite surprised, but obviously what has to take place is not so nice. It's pretty much an exorcism.
Pretty much.
A
hybrid between a cremation and an exorcism.
Yeah. Will is bound and he is just, you know, there's all these heaters all around him.
Yeah, pretty much baking him to get this thing out.
And that's it, like, the more heat he awakens, but it's not really Will that's awoken.
No, Will is not in the building right now.
Yeah.
At all.
And it's horrible because he's being burnt.
Yeah, I know, I you know what I'm like. I could not imagine that amount of heat.
No.
Like, no thank you.
And the thing is, it's like, you can, what I'm trying to say is, I'm thinking about Joyce, and I'm thinking about how a parent should never want to hurt their child, and most would never dream of it. But you can tell that it's not Will, and Joyce is filled with anger for what is inside of her son,
exactly.
What is taking her boy away, what has killed her love.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly, that's it. She's very much in a angry mindset at whatever it is inside Will.
Yeah.
That she can just look past the fact that it's using his body.
That's
his face, his voice, his eyes.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think it's his eyes because they've gone blacked out, haven't they?
Yeah.
But either way, she's able to look past that fact and just see this evil entity inside him.
Yeah. Like, well, I think Jonathan, because he's not been there for all of it, because he has not seen it building up in Will like Joyce has, he's more hesitant. He still very much sees Will.
Yeah. He's hating it. Jonathan.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he does try to turn him off later on when it gets too much.
Joyce's like, no. To be honest, with this scene, I think it's easier to discuss it all in one go.
Yeah.
That's it. As the heat obviously increases, that mind flayer is angrier.
Yeah.
Is threatened. So it is coming out with all its strength.
Yeah, exactly. And it just goes to show, because as Jonathan's about to turn the heat, well, he does turn one of the heaters off.
Yeah.
But then Joyce just turns it straight back on. And as soon as it's back on, that's when his veins start darkening.
Yeah.
You know, it starts getting up. And it's like that brief second.
Yes.
Of turning the heaters off could have ended it all.
Definitely. And well, Nancy says, and she's like, Jonathan, his neck, because you can see it rising
exactly
in him.
And that's it nearly wasn't enough here either.
That's what I was just going to say. I was going to say, do you think the heat would have been enough to get it completely out?
I don't think so.
No.
I think, obviously,
it had to be the combination of everything.
Yeah, I personally think everything adds up to it. Like, obviously, the fire poker adding even more heat. I don't think that alone would have been enough either.
No.
I think then the ignition of the vine centre area that the party found themselves in with Steve, I think the ignition of that is probably a big one as well.
Yeah.
Because not only is that heat creating more pain for the hive mind,
yeah,
but it's also in a different area. It's a complete distraction from what's going on within Will.
Yeah.
Or at the lab. It's
that's
more
it.
Excruciating pain in a completely different area. So it draws the mind away, and I think that is probably what pulls the mind flare out.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, Mike and the gang being in the tunnel is vital too, yeah, because yeah. Those demo dogs, yes, they were going for L, but they could have easily been sent to Will to protect the body.
Obviously, the reason they're in the cabin is to try and prevent that. But I think eventually the Mind Flayer could have figured out a way to get there.
Yeah, it's the Mind Flayer. I'm sure it could figure something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it makes me think that, yeah, maybe they could have been sent to Will as well. So, obviously, the tunnels is a huge distraction. And this is it, like, as the darkness of the Mind Flayer, like, is almost being dragged out of Will's body, it does fight back, and Will starts choking Joyce.
Yeah, she gets a bit
crazy.
Too close. Will manages, the Mind Flayer manages to get enough strength inside Will's frail little body that manages to break through the restraints.
Yeah.
And yeah, that. Obviously, Joyce is trying to hold him down herself then, and gets a bit too close, and that's it. The Mind Flayer, Vecna, whoever the hell you want it to be,
yeah,
is just not playing games anymore. He's like, right, I am killing you here and now.
Yeah, and it's such a crazy scene to see a young child choking, but like, my God, Noah Schnapp, you got to act out choking Winona Ryder, acting royalty. What the hell? But literally, yeah, it's such a powerful moment.
Yeah, exactly, because that's it. If it weren't for Nancy and the fire poker then.
Yeah.
And the
ouch.
Yeah, I know, that's definitely left a scar.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, how many degree burns is that spot right there?
Yeah.
But there's that, and yeah, the vines going up. If it weren't for those, I think Joyce would be dead right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the hands of her own son, technically.
I know, which is just
horrifying. Her innocent little son drawing cabbages for fireballs.
Yeah. And that's it. Like, while that is happening, that extreme scene, we have got, like, back in the tunnels, are fighting back, the vines are fighting back, and you know, Mike is attacked by the vines.
Yeah,
you gotta think maybe intentional.
Maybe that it goes for Mike, yeah. It could just be he's the one in the wrong place at the wrong time, or
maybe
it could be an intentional target.
Yeah.
But either way, yeah, a lot of people seem to forget that this happens.
Yeah. And obviously the group do manage to free Mike. But before they can go any further, that is when Dart shows up.
Yeah, Dart's there, pretty much coming. I imagine he's been told by the Big Daddy Mind Flayer to come and see what's up and get rid of it.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, thankfully there's that little bit of self-control inside Dart still. He's not a complete part of the hive mind.
He can be a good boy.
Because he can be the good boy. He can be a good boy doggo.
That's it. Dustin gives him some chocolate.
Yeah, that's it. Dustin recognises him and he's like, right, I'm taking this risk.
This is the thing, people. Chocolate can save lives.
It can indeed. Yes, it can indeed.
Always have a chocolate in your pocket.
Yep. Boyfriends know this.
Yeah. Chocolate in your pocket, especially at certain times of the month.
Exactly.
So that's it. So they manage to get further. and light the place up.
Yes, indeed.
And then they run for dear life.
Yeah.
And there is a moment where, well, everything's happening at the same time. But there is a moment where we think that Dustin and Steve may be toast.
Yes, exactly, because they are trying to climb out the hole in the tunnel.
Yeah, and if anyone's thinking toast, because I'm not sure if that's a British thing to say.
No,
I mean, they're almost dead.
That's it, you don't mean they're going to burn themselves in the middle thing.
Yeah.
They are trying to climb out of the tunnel where they got in, and yeah, it is Dustin. Yeah, Dustin and Steve left over, isn't it? And,
yeah.
Yeah, obviously, now that Elle is starting to close the gate,
mm-hmm.
the Mind Flayer has now diverted all soldiers to the lab, to the gate.
And that's
it. He doesn't care that he's being forced out of will. He doesn't care that the vines are being burned. He's like, right, she's closing this gate. Get there right now.
And stop her.
And get her.
Yeah. Exactly. And this is the thing, because this is all happening at the same time. And what's also thankfully happening with Will is that because they've set those tunnels on fire, because of what Elle's doing, which we'll get on in a minute, that Mind Flayer is pulled out of Will.
Yeah, that's it. I was half and half previously thinking it was it choosing to escape, like, right, no, I've got bigger fish to fry, I need to just leave.
Yeah.
Like, part of me originally thought that. Because you can imagine it being like, no, I just need to go now. I can fly.
Screw this body.
I just need to go.
I could believe that. Easily be one of the possibilities.
Like, that's it. It could not be the flames that did it in the end. It could just be it deciding itself.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was, because of the way the veins go black and all that.
Yeah.
I do think, like you said, I think it is yanked out.
Yeah.
And whether that's the rest of the main body Mind Flayer thinking it needs every little bit of itself.
Mm.
And so it is like, you, get out.
Yeah.
Get back over here, sort of thing.
I need all defence.
I need every single bit to
keep this gate open, yeah.
Keep this gate open and kill that girl.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. I think it all adds up. It obviously all saves Will. And then, yeah, like you say, those demodogs going through the tunnel, just, they do think they're toast indeed. They think their rear end is grass.
Yeah.
But, no, they run straight past.
Yeah. Like, you hold your breath because they are all coming and you're like, oh my god, how are they going to get out of this?
Oh yeah, I know, it literally was a breath hold moment.
Yeah.
But doesn't it just completely go silent as they start walking past? Literally, like, the episode itself holds its breath.
I think it does, yeah.
Literally,
right.
They
just
hold
for a
their
minute.
Breath. Like, they obviously just hug each other. Like, okay, this is it.
Because we also get the shot then of Mike, Lucas and Max all looking shocked, and you almost think, they've been killed,
yeah.
But we're not going to see it, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Or it's like a stampede sort of thing. But
yeah.
It is a stampede, but thankfully they're too small to do any damage.
Yeah.
So they are running straight past. You see that happening, and it just pans back to Mike, zooming on his face. 11.
Yeah. And that's it. We're going to go to Al now, because Elle and Hopper, they're in some kind of elevator. Hopper is shooting the demodogs, and we said it's interesting how he's managing to hit them, but all of the lab workers, security guards, all those kind of people, every single one of them failed.
Well, this
and got
is it.
Killed.
I think they're hitting them, but they just don't seem to care.
Yeah.
Suddenly the bullets are working. It's oh, duffers and your plot convenience.
Yes, exactly. But obviously we're grateful for it, because at the moment, Hopper is able to manage the demodogs that are coming and get rid of them. And so we've got Elle up against this gate, and that seeping darkness is coming through, and Elle's having to focus. And we get flashbacks to Carly, you know, saying,
yeah.
Think of something that angers you. And she does. She thinks of... It's almost quite... It's quite sad. In a, this is a weird thing to say because obviously I don't want her to be sad at all, but like one of the first things she thinks of is like Mike and Max, yeah, you know, of exactly. Everything that's happened in her life, all bless her. All
the
stuff
that's happened, that's the first one that comes to her,
yeah.
Just shows where her mind is.
Yeah, which is really sad. And then obviously it does get deeper, you know, she thinks about her mother. And then I noticed that when she thinks about Brenna, it's like, it's not just anger that she's now controlling, it's become fear. And that yeah. fear falters her anger, and the mind flayer is able to increase its power and seeps through even more at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
At that point, the mind flayer is more powerful and is making his way in. And yet, she is able to focus back in.
Yeah.
And she thinks again about Mike. She thinks about the party, about Dustin, about Lucas. And she thinks about home. She thinks about Hopper. And it's the idea, isn't it, that she's thinking about the people she's fighting for, the people that she
exactly.
loves.
Exactly, yeah.
And that makes her more powerful than any anger ever could. And she gets both hands in there then.
Yeah.
And
that's it. She's just exerting so much power.
I remember Millie saying how much, I know she was the same for season 3, but in these scenes, how much she like lost her voice because she's not just like screaming like ah, she is like ah,
it's fury, it's like a fury
it's a gut sound. It's like, ironically, it reminds me, sorry people if this is a bit gross or too much information, but it reminds me of the kind of noises I was making in the later stages of labour.
Yeah.
It's not just coming from your chest. It's like your whole body is just in a
well,
fight.
This is it. She is straining.
Yeah.
To get every last ounce of her power out to close that gate.
Yeah.
This is the thing. She's having to think about so much when it comes to her telekinesis here. Like, she's having to hold back the mind flayer, which must be such a hard thing to do in the telekinesis world because it's a particle cloud.
Yeah.
It's not like she's picking up one object as if that's not amazing enough.
Yeah.
She's having to, whether she's individually having to push back every single particle or if she's just imagining some sort of force field in a way. But either way, she's having to hold that thing back, start pushing it, while also closing the gate. It's like she needs 10 hands doing different things constantly. Yeah. So she is literally having to strain herself so much for this.
Yeah.
That,
and not even to mention the power that she puts into it, the strength, the focus of her telekinesis, she starts to levitate.
She does. And I was going to say, you know, that's how much power she's exerting, is that she starts to lift off the ground, lights around Hawkins, like, you know, previously we've seen her affect nearby lights, you know, whether it's popping them or making them glow brighter for a bit, whatever, but she's affecting lights that are across the state.
Yeah.
Here. Like, generally, I can't remember the map, I don't know how close they are or how far, but I can imagine this being on the news, like everyone's lights everywhere just suddenly, yeah, whether they were on or off, just started glowing super bright because this one girl in a little corner of Hawkins is just going absolutely ham on closing this gate.
Yeah, and up until this point, she has never had to fight as much as she is.
Yeah.
Like,
it's amazing to me.
Her at her peak at this point.
Yeah, I think this is her at her peak for a while.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking this previously. I'm amazed. I guess they hadn't thought of the concept of Elle losing her powers yet.
Mm.
Because Elle loses her powers sort of like a stroke type thing, is how they describe it, when she pulls that chunk of the flesh flare out of her leg. That's what makes a loser abilities. I'm amazed that this didn't do that to her.
Yeah.
Because the amount of work she's having to put in, I'm amazed this wasn't the moment that they decided, oh yeah, Elle can lose her powers for season 3. You know, they could have brought that ahead if they'd thought about it beforehand. Yeah. Because this is a perfect opportunity to say she's overworked herself and she's lost her abilities.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole, the way she loses her abilities in season 3 seems minuscule compared to this.
But I think the only, I do know what you're saying. This scene is huge and what she achieves is incredible. But I think in season 3, it's the frequency. She's constantly having to use her powers and never recharge.
I suppose.
And she's just a flat battery, literally.
Yeah.
But in this, it's like she was fully charged for this moment, and then, boom.
Yeah, well, this is it. She's not had to, obviously, she had to pop off a few demodogs.
Yeah.
But they were trivial
for her. And that's it. Obviously, she does manage, under incredible pressure, but strength, to close the gate. And she collapses. So that is literally her then becoming flat battery for a while. Yeah.
And we don't really know if she passes out here, do we? Or if she's just like weak and falls, essentially. Yeah. She's definitely weak and falls.
I think she does pass out because of the way that scene ends as she closes the gate. You almost hear her breath where she goes like...
Yeah.
And it's like, and a drop.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I think she probably does pass out. And from what we know of her powers in season 3 and what happens and the exhaustion, I think to have been able to do something as powerful as what she's just done, I think it's incredible.
Yeah, it's like the second she stops using it, it just... That sudden stop of ability just, blacks her out, I think. Yeah. And... Obviously, many, many a fanfiction has had Hopper arrive to the buyer's house with Mike pacing around again.
Yeah.
And she's passed out and he's panicking because of the fact that she's literally passed out. I personally think that's how that would have happened.
Yeah, definitely. And honestly, though, I'm skipping ahead here, but... I mean, a bit of it happens in season 3, but obviously majorly happens in season 4... when the kind of world between ours and the Upside Down starts to like crack open, I just was like, but Elle worked so hard to close that gate.
I literally said those words the second we see the Russians opening it with a portal drill.
Yeah.
Like, in the first intro sequence where it fails, right there and then, I was like, how dare you?
Yeah.
She's worked so hard to close that gate and you guys are purposely opening another. I'm like, how dare you?
I know. It is disgraceful.
It really is.
But no, it does. It makes me genuinely sad because I'm like, she put everything into that.
She literally everything. Put absolutely every ounce of her ability
She
into
could
that.
Have died. She went back into that horrible lab knowing I might die here.
Yeah, exactly that. Could have been her last moments was closing a gate,
But fortunately, that does not happen.
No.
And Hopper cradles her and tells her how good she has done. And finally, we all take a huge sigh of relief because the party that have been in the tunnels are now safe out. Will, the shadow has left him and... He's come around and he has gone, Mom, we know Will's still in
there.
Yeah, it's
very much Will's voice now, not the mind flares.
This is the moment where all of us fans just went, oh, thank God.
Yeah, it's over. It's done.
What a roller coaster. And that's it. As we come back, so much is happening, but now so much for the good, really. Murray is perched on a camp
chair. Yeah, so we've had our 3-month skip at this point.
Yeah.
And I remember reading 3 months later, and I remember my reaction being, 3 months?
No, it can't be 3 months. Can
or is it one? Maybe it's one.
I think it's one, because it can't be 3 months, because the snowball,
October.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been January, so no. Must be 1 month then.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that, people.
Whatever.
But, Murray is on a kind of deck chair, camp chair, watching the lab being boarded up and the army leaving. Yeah. And I love that one of the army officials like sticks his finger up to Murray because Murray's just there celebrating.
Yeah.
He's taken down the man.
Exactly. He has pretty much forced him out of that lab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we do have a sad moment though because we do see a glimpse of Barb's funeral.
Yeah.
If there's anything in that coffin or not, I don't know.
I doubt it.
Yeah. But I think and I hope that there's at least some it's not happy, of course it's not happy for Barb's parents. But some sort of what's the word, people? But you're all screaming it at me.
Are you thinking what's in the coffin?
Closure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably what the coffin's for, even if it is empty, is to symbolise, obviously, Barb being put to rest, finally.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it is closure for them, I imagine, because I think the parents fully believe the story.
Yeah. But before that, they did believe that she might still be alive, because they're like,
before
he's
going to
find our Barb, you know, and...
Yeah.
I can't imagine the emotions that they must be feeling. But hopefully, they can start to process things.
It's closure because now they're not looking for their daughter anymore.
No.
Thinking that she's out there somewhere. They finally know that the search has ended.
Yeah. But that can't always be a good thing, I suppose, because the truth sometimes hurts more.
Oh, it does.
Oh, sorry, people. You can probably hear Emmy on her camera. That poor little girl is teething, and she's having a rough time of it. Bless her.
Yeah, wiggling about to roll onto a front by the looks of it.
Yep.
And there she goes. I'm gonna have to pause and go and throw a dummy in a gob.
He means that in the most gentle, loving way.
Yeah. But of course, as soon as I paused, she settled down anyway.
That's our good girl.
No. And as soon as we start recording again, she rolls back over.
She just wants to be the star of the show, doesn't she?
She wants to be involved again. She's like, excuse me, I am the manager.
She enjoyed having the episode where she starred in it. I'm not going to lie, I've listened back to that and it was cute. Hopefully it didn't annoy anyone because I thought it was adorable. Personally, not that I'm biased or anything,
not
as her mother.
All, no.
So what we next have, we've had Murray, we've had all that, but we have Hopper walking into a bar, meeting up with Sam, and you can tell Hopper's trying to do better for himself.
Yeah.
Because, like, Sam's trying to offer him this huge sandwich that he's gotten. And he's like, nah, you know, I'm on a diet.
You're a better man than me.
Yeah. So, clearly, he's trying to make improvements, you can tell. Sam has got Elle a birth certificate.
Yeah.
And I really do like the fact that it's got Jane on it. Because I think that's a very important nod to Terry.
It is. And I mean, what other name would they have gone with otherwise?
They could have gone for anything, you know.
That's it. I mean, they could have gone with Eleanor.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could have gone with absolutely anything. Obviously, it's not going to be 11. That would be stupid. But, I think... I do wonder what it would have had if she hadn't gone and found a mother.
Yeah.
You know, and not been aware of her actual name. Maybe they would have stuck with Anna.
I do wonder, though. I think because of what has happened and what they've all been through and the honest conversation that Hopper and Elle had, I think even if Terry hadn't come up at this point, I do believe that Hopper would have been like, listen, Elle, I'm really sorry I lied to you. This is the information I have on your mother and this is what I know, you know, from having seen
it. I think he could have explained it as, I didn't know what to say at the time.
Yeah.
So I just cowered it out. I just took the easy route.
Yeah.
But this is the truth. Yeah, I think they could have had that. But either way, no need, because she already knows. She knows what her name is.
Yeah.
So it only makes sense, like you say, that that's on the birth certificate.
And it's lovely. And it's a beautiful moment because it's like a sense of belonging to have a birth certificate.
It is, yeah. And that's it. You can see Hopper's face just in shock.
Yeah.
At this. And he doesn't understand how he's managed this.
But it's also good from our point of view watching because it's proving that Sam is sticking to his word about protecting Elle.
Yes.
And letting her have a life. And you kind of feel a bit better knowing that she's got this official who is there wanting to help her.
Exactly. She's got an inside man on her side.
That's why I'm always scared that Sam is going to be killed, because he's an inside man who is on Elle's side.
Well, at the moment, we don't know what his situation is because he's still in that Nina Project lab when it gets raided.
Yeah.
So, you know, they happily shot Brenner a few times. They'd probably shoot him if they get the opportunity. So,
yeah,
I really don't know what Sam's situation is.
No.
He's MIA right now.
I know, and it worries me because, he's really useful for Elle, and he's a kind man. So
he is.
Although, questionable decisions in Season 4, which we'll discuss in Season 4.
I was going to say, we'll have to discuss in Season 4, because I could talk about that for hours. That very fact you're saying there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite the topic.
Yeah.
I have to hold my breath.
For Season 4.
It's so far away.
I know.
It's not, though. We're on to Season 3 after our
But listen, faves. We've got a really exciting scene coming up now.
Yeah.
And we can introduce it by Hopper asking Sam, you know, how long does she need to keep a low profile?
Yeah.
And Sam's like, no. About a year, you know, if you want to keep it, you know, you want to just be safe. And Hopper's there grabbing that sandwich, forgetting his diet, because he's like, damn, because there's something she hasn't stopped talking to me about, and probably Mike has not stopped talking to him about.
Yeah.
And he goes, how about one night?
Yeah.
Sam's looking very confused. Night. What's so important about one night? Oh, Sam.
You have
everything.
No idea. Literally everything. That's it. Hopper does not answer. It just cuts to the answer.
Yeah.
And you hear that Christmas music starting. And we see the 84 snowball.
Oh, yes. And the party getting ready for the snowball. Oh, my God. Let's go with Dustin first.
I like how he was on your mind because he was on mine.
He's looking for a package in the house.
I think it starts with him, doesn't it?
I think it does, yeah. He's looking for, he looks pretty nice, and his hair is as it usually is. But he's looking for a package in the house. We see his mum has got a new kitten.
Twos, what an amazing name.
I wonder if Dustin bought it her. Sorry people, I just had to pause because I wasn't sure if our son now was out of bed. No, he's in bed, he's good. But yes, I was just like, I wonder if Dustin got the cat out of guilt.
Yeah, and then, you know, Twos is an official name in the show, isn't it? Or is that just made up in the fandom?
I think that's the official name. I think we see the like the bowl of food and it's got that on it or something like that.
Because that is such a pun name for Dustin to come up with.
Yeah. Well, no, I feel like his mum is more like that, to be honest.
I think they're both a bit like that, though, yeah.
But I can imagine Dustin literally, I can imagine the scene. He goes to his piggy bank, he empties it and he's like, damn it, Dart. And then he goes to like a pet store or wherever, gets this kitten, comes home and goes, Mom, I found this kitten just wandering about and all this stuff. It's got no home, and she'd be like,
it's meant to be.
It's meant to be. Maybe it's Muse's baby or something like that. I can totally imagine him having to use all his life savings on this kitten because he's completely guilty. So Dustin finds the package in the kitchen. And it is hairspray. Not just any normal hairspray.
No, not just any. It has to be Farrah Fawcett.
Absolutely. And Dustin attacks his poor hair.
Yeah, I think he missed the short puffs when it's damp, not wet, damp.
But let's leave that there for a moment for dramatic effect, because we'll move on to Lucas next. He's trying out, again, he's looking lovely. He's trying out some chat up lines in the mirror.
Yeah. Pretty much asking himself to a dance.
Yeah.
Ah, dear.
Well, Erica takes the absolute mick out of him in the background, which is just brilliant.
It's always brilliant.
You know, that's what brothers and sisters are for.
Exactly. We'll have plenty of that to come in our future.
Yeah. And we go to Will. Is this awful, people? But I'm like, what happened?
I mean, it's pretty much Joyce taking pictures.
That's it.
Of... No, yes it is. No, I was thinking the Ghostbuster costume for a moment.
That's it. That's where my brain went. But then I'm like, no. That's the Ghostbusters.
It is pictures of his Snow White outfit.
Yeah, and then in the background on the refrigerator, we see that he has drawn...
Bob Newby.
Superhero.
Yeah.
And not to get too morbid here now, because it's a happy moment, but... That does make me think about afterwards, Will being like, what happened? Where's Bob? And then having to explain. Well, this is it.
I wonder how much Will remembers. I do wonder if he's like fully aware of what happened.
Yeah.
Or if it was like a, whether it was like a bad dream to him. Or if he was fully aware just in the background. Or like you say, does he not remember any of it? Does he have no idea what happened?
No. Oh, well, that's interesting.
I personally think he knows. I'm more on a mindset that either, whether it was like a bad dream for him or if he was constantly aware of what was happening.
Yeah.
I personally think Will knows what the Mind Flayer did as him.
Which is horrible, really.
Yeah, I think that's going to be worse, 100%.
Definitely. Because all those soldiers' deaths and everything, you know.
But yeah, like you say, Bob's, just as he was starting to open up to Bob, he's gone and he's technically gone and killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. If he wasn't aware, I could 100% imagine everyone saying, you know, they're not going to let him know that any of that happened technically because of him.
Yeah.
They're just going to say, oh yeah, Demodog got him. It wasn't your doing. None of that. But I'm more on the side that he's aware.
Yeah. Which, as I say, is sad. Is worse. The case. Yeah. But I love that he has done that picture of Bob, you know, as a superhero. And that, you know, that is really sweet. And so we go from that to we've got Mike.
Yeah.
He's looking pretty good too. And he's at the bottom of the stairs. And Karen is taking picture after picture of him. And he's going, Mom!
Yeah, absolutely rolling his eyes. Mike is my spirit animal.
But I do wonder, we see in season 3 that Elle has got one of those photos.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because again, we never see Karen meet Elle, which is so sad.
The fact that we haven't seen Karen meet Elle is disgusting.
I know. But I'm like, did Karen give it to her? Or was Mike like, here's a picture of me to remember me by?
You can imagine she was... the house at some point and she saw it like on a mantelpiece or something.
Oh, she's
like,
took it.
Yeah, she's either taken it or seen it and then demanded a copy.
Oh, it's so cute though, either way. So yeah, all our party are ready, and then we have got Steve dropping off Justin, whose hair has very dramatically changed now.
Yeah, just a touch.
Do you know what? I might be in the minority, but I like his hair. I think he's done a good job for what the kind of style he was after.
Yeah, I think it's good. It's a bit much, but it's good.
I think he looks cool. sort of like new romantics kind of thing. But yeah, so he goes in, he's trying to, you know, have Steve's confidence. And it's funny, really. He's trying to have Steve's confidence as he, like, walks into the snowball. But Steve's looking at Nancy, and Steve just looks like a completely different person.
He does, because He's sort of looking at Nancy longingly, like he misses having her.
Yeah.
But he's accepting the fact that
yeah.
she's with Jonathan now.
Yeah, he's just he's like,
oh. trying to... I think he's more so... You can imagine his internal monologue.
Yeah.
Telling himself to get over her.
Yeah.
You know, she's gone, she's with Jonathan. You need to move on.
Yeah, and that's it. And he drives off. And that's it. Like, while Love is the Battlefield is playing, which is, you know, very apt.
Yeah.
A song to be going on. And inside, yeah, we've got Jonathan and Nancy sharing a moment where they're smiling over to each other. And I do think finally both of them, especially because of what we see of them in season 3, I think they do truly believe that this is all over now.
I think Nancy's
doing better for having her closure as well for Barb now.
Yeah, that's it.
I think she doesn't have to feel the guilt anymore. Or the grief that she has been feeling, like every single time she's been seeing Barb's parents, she's no longer holding on to some sort of lie, you know.
Exactly.
And I think that's so much more healthier for her. And you can just see it, even in just those scenes in the snowball, Nancy has got a ginormous weight off her shoulders. She's just calmer, yeah,
exactly,
happier, and easier to help out, you know.
Exactly, and that's it. She's got that weight off her. She looks a bit relieved. Jonathan is starting to find himself as well, because he's doing the photography for the snowball across the room. So, yeah, I think they are finally... Well, yeah, as far as they're aware, it is sorted.
Yeah.
And like I say, if you stop this episode before it pans upside down, it's the happily ever after.
It is, yeah.
This episode can be the happily ever after.
Yeah.
If we so want it to be.
And that's it. So Dustin then meets up with Lucas and Mike and Max that are there. Oh, do you know what? I just realised I didn't mention about Max getting ready, but her mum is trying to make her like all girly, and Max is just like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Her hair does look really pretty though. I think she's got like a lovely little braid in it and everything.
Yeah, and that's it. Billy walks past the door as she's getting ready, and he stops to look for a moment, and Max just shoots him a glare like, yeah, what are you going to do?
An epic look.
Yeah, and he just walks on.
Try it. Go on, try it.
Because I imagine it's a bit of a... You could imagine them being able to talk in each other's minds.
Yeah.
Whereas he's stopping by the door, looking at Max and being like, I know you're going to see Lucas.
Yeah.
I know you're going to see Lucas there. And she's like, yep. Yeah. And what?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Do you need another bat right next to your private area?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a very powerful moment for her there. Yeah, so they, of course, all take the mick out of Justin's hair, like a bird nesting in it.
Yeah.
Oh, bless him, honestly. But he's still confident at this point. He's still like, I don't care what you're going to say. And stupidly, because he should know she's not a nice girl, she might be popular, but she's only popular because of the way she looks. She's clearly not popular for personality. Dustin goes up to Stacey and he's like, Stacey, hey, Stacey.
Yeah.
Shall we?
That's it. They're ignoring him until he's right up in their faces and they can't, you know, it's a bit too obvious for them to ignore him now.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it. I appreciate him trying to put on that Steve confidence, but...
Yeah.
Come on, what did you expect from a girl like her?
Yeah, and that's it. When she rejects him and they laugh, because she's rejected him, so many of the other girls are like, oh, I'm going to have to reject him too, you know, and all giggling and laughing.
Yeah.
And it is so cruel and so horrible. And so many of us, I'm sure, can kind of sympathise with that moment of being humiliated.
Yep.
In a school setting like that, and not obviously identical to what Dustin goes through there, but that feeling of being humiliated in school, I'm sure we've all felt it.
Absolutely.
And oh my god, I think this has got to be Nancy's best moment of the whole of seasons.
Yeah.
When she, you know, says, come on.
Yeah.
She grabs him to dance with, and it means so much, because we kind of get the impression from season one that at some point Dustin had a crush on Nancy.
Yeah, kind of, it sort of indicates that.
In the first episode. And, you know, so first of all, that's amazing for him that she's dancing with him. She's an older girl. You know, I think she's relatively popular as well. She's not unpopular.
Yeah.
Like, the look on Stacey's face says it all.
And everyone's face. All of the girls are looking like...
Wow. Like, she's got an older girl? And, yeah, Nancy gives him some good advice and...
Yeah.
Says that girls are stupid at this age.
Exactly, yeah. That's it. But come down the line and you'll be wowing them all.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Do I believe her when she says he's a favourite? I mean, maybe. Because of his personality, she could be telling the truth, to be fair.
Yeah, possibly. But it's a beautiful moment and it's such a confidence boost.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it is probably the reason why in season 3 we start the season with Justin having a girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. You
because
know.
It was probably that confidence boost that he needed to know that if he could dance with Nancy Wheeler at the Snowball, then he can do anything kind of thing, which is wonderful. And what she hoped to set out to do, she did.
Yeah, exactly. She gave him that confidence to
power
on. And yeah, obviously by next season we have Susie Poo.
God, yes we do. And so, you know, Dustin is now off dancing with Nancy, and there is a little small moment where, like, they're all watching and Mike as well, like, almost looking disgusted, like, what the hell's going on over there? And Lucas, bless him, tries to gain the confidence to dance with Max. You know, we've got Cyndi Lauper time after time starting. He turns to her really suave. Bless his little heart. He's trying to get the words out.
Yeah, but not doing a very good job at it.
And I love the grin on Max's face. She's like, when she's like, are you trying to ask me to dance with you? And he's like, do you want to? And she does like that proper cheeky
real
grin.
Real smooth.
It actually reminds me of our son Harry's cheeky grin. She's just like...
that knowing cheeky grin, yeah.
Knowing, yeah. And, yeah, they start dancing. And then we get a girl coming to Will. And this is bittersweet. Because, like, a lot of us have written it as, like, different characters. Like, the character Jennifer, who was crying at his funeral. I've written it as that in M Life You Deserve, but obviously now that we know for sure that Will is gay and everything, it's kind of, as I say, bittersweet, because there's this girl that's interested and has come to him, and I kind of love that she calls him Zombie Boy. And I have written a Will and Jennifer thing before, and I've put, like, the reason that this girl says that is because she's almost like, so what? Own it, you know, like, if that's what you are and you're saying I'm Zombie Boy, well then be it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care, come and dance with me. And so I kind of like that she says that to him. And we laughed and we had to rewatch because we noticed that when they dance, there's not a Will in that moment, there's a Noah.
Yeah.
He does a little shimmy, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. I've never noticed it before, and I've never seen anyone else mention it before.
I said to you, I was like, oh my God, we need to rewind. I said, we totally just saw Noah then, not Will. And we rewatched, and yeah, there's a moment where he's going around the couples, and they were just like, shimmy.
Yeah.
Shimmy the shoulders.
Something Will definitely
Will would
wouldn't
never
be
do.
Doing in that moment.
And it's just so funny. But what is also knowing, isn't it, is that the way Will looks at Mike, I'm not saying that in a, you know, don't get excited, any Pilot fans who are listening. I don't mean he looks at him like, it, but it's almost like approval, like, should I go dance with her? What do you
He's
think?
He's begging for help.
Yeah.
He's literally begging for help.
And Mike's just kind of like,
say.
I don't know.
Well, Mike's egging him on.
Yeah.
Mike's like,
yeah.
Come on, go on, go on. And I don't know if... Mike knows that Will is gay at this point?
I don't know. Because I mean, that's definitely a discussion point for season 3 and season 4, obviously. It is,
that's it. Because it could go either way. You could say, if he doesn't know that he's gay, then obviously he's just like, come on, get the girl, go. On the other side, if he knows, then he could be egging him on as a, come on, I know this isn't your preference, but we know you need to hide it in this unfortunate world. So, you know, you need to accept the dance.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the kind of, they're the kind of boys we are. You know, when we have a girl ask us to dance, we just go for it because we're wasteoids.
Yeah.
So we don't pass up an opportunity like that. So, yeah, even if he knows, I think he's then trying to help him hide that fact.
Yeah.
So, it could go either way. I'm not sure at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if he knows.
Yeah. But either way, at this point then, we have Mike on his own.
That's it. And it does leave Mike on his own. And he's just there, sort of staring into space nearly.
Yeah.
I imagine he's slowly giving up hope.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's almost got like a longful look in his eyes at this moment. And then we go out to Joyce, who, you know, she said she'll give Will some space, but not that much space. Which I think is completely understandable.
After and everything that's happened.
And he should be lucky that she's staying outside. But she's soon joined by Hopper. And I do remember the first time I ever watched this, hope in me was rising and rising at this point.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if Hopper is there, that must mean Ellie's here. I was like, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's it. And Hopper and Joyce have a moment, which is really lovely. You know, they reminisce about when they were in school. You know, they obviously, Joyce teases about not being that far from Will. And they just get kind of have a moment of solace, you know, for everything that's happened. Because, of course, Joyce is still grieving Bob. It's clearly not been very long.
No.
But, yeah, that is a nice moment between them. Definitely, I think Rose some points up for the Jopper fans.
I was going to say, it's starting, this sort of sets the stone for Jopper.
Jopper, yeah. And this is it. And then the best thing ever happens, basically, at the end.
That's it, yeah. Pan's, well, yeah, Every Breath You Take starts.
Yeah.
The song that Henry is singing.
Great. The first Shadow People.
Yeah. But,
not
yeah,
in season 4.
You could say this song is a message from Henry / the Mind Flayer.
But let's not say that.
No, we're going to ignore that whole thing.
Let's just move it to the side.
No, this is this. That's it. It's all ended.
In a
this
way, the music doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
What's happening.
Because as that starts, Mike's looking around and he just so happens to look at the
hall doors. He just zones
in on it. He zones in, like that sixth sense, just knowing where she is.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Like a magnet.
Literally like a magnet.
Should I get the tissues out now?
Go for it. We're going to need them. Fact, I'm calling an ambulance.
And then Elle walks in and all of us Malevinship is scream and celebrate.
Yeah, she's looking so nervous. Like she's
nervous, shy,
so
overwhelmed.
So unsure of where she is. And yeah, there's so much going on. She does not. This is not her kind of place.
Because the thing is, as well, it's not her kind of place. It's never something she's experienced before. But this has got to be something that she has dreamt about for a year.
Yeah,
that she
exactly.
has longed for a year.
Because that's it.
A promise that she would not, and he would not, break.
Exactly, and it's finally happening here. So that's it. She's searching the hall for a bit, for a moment. That's all it takes is a moment. Until she finds him.
Yeah.
And he is already staring at her. And that's it. You can just, in her mind, imagine the rest of the hall just fading out of existence.
Yeah.
Because once again, just as they were in Nabiya's house, those two are the only people in this room right now.
And she just has the most soft grin. While he looks so in shock by how pretty she's dressed, you know.
Yeah.
And we have them both just find each other and slowly walk up to each other. And I love Mike in this season to Elle, because he knows how close he's been to losing her, how horrific the time's been without her. So, and again, this adds more fuel to my fire about him having said, "I love you," in the 6 months we don't see. Without shyness, with nothing, he says, "You look beautiful."
Yeah, straight away. That's it. There's not a moment.
He doesn't even say hi. He just says, "You look beautiful."
Exactly. There's not a moment of hesitation there. He's not thinking, should I say that? Should I not? Is it too much?
Yeah.
No, he just says it, and, you know, she absolutely loves it. She has to duck her head in shyness.
Because the Mike that I know and love is the Mike that knows what life is like without Elle and never wants to experience it again.
Exactly.
So wears his heart completely on his sleeve with her.
Exactly.
That is the Mike I love and know.
That's the Mike that's canon.
Yeah. And like you said, she has the most beautiful little shy ducked head grin. And he says to her, "Do you want to dance?"
"I don't know how."
And he just shrugs and says, "That's okay."
"Neither do I."
"Neither do I."
"Do you want to figure it out?"
She nods like in excitement because she's like, "Yeah." And, "I need so many tissues."
I remember people laughing at the way he holds her hand as they walk up. It's such a weird handhold.
It is a weird handhold, but I like the fact that it's perfectly imperfect, you know.
Yeah, it just like the both of them, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, working it out almost himself about where their hands should be and everything.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Yeah, okay." Like, you know.
That's it. I think he's pretty much, he's obviously got no experience of this either.
Yeah.
So he's just going off what he's seen others doing, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then what feels right. That's what music is. What if it feels right?
Yeah. And, you know, they start to dance and... Again, I am a broken record, people. You probably already know what I'm about to say. The facial expressions, the look in the eyes, Millie and Finn are geniuses.
Yeah, that's it, they are.
They're not barely saying anything, and yet it's magical.
Well, there's no more words at this point. They've said the final line was, "Do you want to figure it out?"
Yeah.
That's it, there are no more lines now.
No.
So,
and it's just gorgeous. The innocence in their eyes, the love, the wonder. Oh my God. Like, just stop it. Just stop being so amazing.
Once again, where do they get this from?
I know.
It's like, what the hell?
And they are dancing. And, you know, we get to see little glimpses again at all the other characters. And surprising to some of us, we get, you know, the first Lumax kiss.
Yeah, exactly. And they put that one in first. And it was so weird to me, now I think about it, that they'd planned the Lumax kiss, but not the Malevin kiss.
It's so strange to me too.
Like, that's just weird.
It is weird to me. Because it's like, was Malevin's first kiss going to be a making out session in season 3?
I don't think it would have gone to that, though.
That's shocking.
I think it would have been less. I think it would have been a lot less if it wasn't for this kiss here.
Yeah, like, that's crazy to me. But we all have, all of us Malevin shippers, all have Millie to thank for that kiss.
Yeah.
Because she was like...
I say, that wasn't in the script.
I do think sometimes she knows 11 more than the Duffers.
I honestly think all of these actors know their character more than the Duffers.
Because she was like, no way. Like, it's like there's no way they wouldn't kiss.
They are kissing here. That's it. She very much set that in stone that they would be kissing in this moment. Because of course they bloody would.
Of course. Sorry, my voice went all crazy. But of course they would. Well, we all say they would have kissed before Elle went off to war with the Mind Flayer, but
Hopper.
You know,
yeah,
Hopper,
exactly.
Suffer Brothers.
Yeah. And that's it. Do I think there's been another kiss before the snowball? Probably. Like, I know they paint it in a way. I
think most of us have written it, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm pretty much sure we all have. I think they paint it as if this is the first kiss since season one. But I think from the moment of closing the gate to here, like I say, Hopper bringing her back to the buyer's house, because the I don't think he would take her straight to the cabin.
I think they'd go back to base, if you know
yeah,
what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone gather back.
I don't
there.
Think he'd be selfish. At this point, I think he knows he has to suck it up. She's in the open to that point now. So I think they get back there, and obviously it's not going to be straight away, but you know, once she's back conscious and all that, and she can fight, and Mike finally has a moment to talk to her, I think they'd manage to sneak one in there.
Yeah.
And do I think then they've been able to see each other that much up to the snowball? I'm not sure, because of the way that Hopper's questioning how long he has to keep her in hiding again. I don't know how much he would have let Mike there or let her out or whatever. So maybe they've only managed that one kiss after the gate, and then this is the next kiss after that many days.
Maybe.
But either way.
I mean, there definitely seems to be a bit of a confidence with the kiss. Yeah. In the way that Mike, he barely...
I think...
falters. But what is beautiful is the way he looks at her. He just looks besotted. He almost looks dazed.
Yeah.
He's just completely captured by her. Like you said about there being no one else in the room. I truly feel like, yeah, to them two, they are just dancing in there alone.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. His eyes just can't leave her.
Yeah.
Because that's it. That's... She is, in his mind, she is just pure beauty.
Mm.
And somehow, she's his.
Yeah.
You know, she's dancing with him. He gets to call her his girlfriend. And, yeah, somehow, she's in his arms.
Yeah.
So, I think, yeah, he's just... mind blown, for lack of a better word. He can't believe it, and so he has to. Yeah, it is everything.
He's just got to kiss her because he can't put it into any of the words in that moment.
That's it.
He probably can't speak if he wanted to.
Yeah, exactly. And sure, Finn whispers, "I'm coming in."
Yeah, I'm coming in.
But that's not Mike saying that.
No,
you know, it's pure silence. And yeah, I think that instinct just takes over, and he just needs it. Because that's his best way of saying it. I think, if anything, that what Mike says in season four, when she says, "Oh, you haven't been saying I love you and all of that," and
he's
he says, "Oh, I say it."
Yeah.
He does say it.
He
and
does.
And this kiss, if you ask me, is the first, sure, it's silent, but this is the first I love you, if you ask me.
If you ask me, I would say the reunion. When he said, you know, I never gave up on you. I called you every night. I think he's been saying I love you for a very long time.
Oh, I think he has been. I think he has been. But I think this is the first direct one.
Yeah.
Personally, I think this is the first wordless way of saying it.
Yeah.
That we get. And, yeah, like you say, he keeps on saying it after this.
It's just beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful moment. And then something happens, which...
Well, no, it doesn't. No, that's the end of the episode. It fades out happily ever after. That's the end.
The end. You know, the middle school doesn't flip upside down.
No, there's no mind flare watching over the school on the upside down world.
I think we might have dreamt that.
Yeah, it's just all a bad dream. It's just nightmares. You know, they've been through so much, they're going to have nightmares and PTSD.
Of course.
That's exactly what it is. None of that is happening.
Yeah.
So it's all in their heads. You dreamt it up, you weirdo.
But do you know what is happening in reality? We have just finished the rewatch of season two.
We have.
We're moving into season three.
Yeah, we've
the
got to
season
do our...
we've probably spoken about the most, and we haven't even entered it yet.
Oh dear me! What are we going to do now? What are we going to caveat at? I can't caveat season three in season three.
Season four.
Yeah.
I don't know, but no, I think I think we've been desperate to get into season three for a while because I think we almost want to prove ourselves wrong.
Yeah, I would say that's right. Like I say, there is that nostalgic feeling to it now because it was the first season we were waiting for together.
Yes, yeah.
And we got to watch.
It provides a lot of excitement. Like, the soundtrack was brilliant as well.
The soundtrack is always fantastic. Like, that's it. The soundtrack and the aesthetics and the excitement season three shone.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. The writing, no. That's out of a trash can somewhere. But...
Not all of it. We aren't being cheeky here because there's so many good moments in season three. There are. But what's brilliant is we are going to get to dissect them and go through it properly.
Exactly. That's it. We've got the favourite moments and all of that for season two next.
Yeah, that's it. I know we're saying about moving on to season three, but that's because for us, obviously, it'll be the next season we're watching. But yeah, the next episode of the podcast, we're going to discuss our favourite characters from season two, our favourite actors, our favourite scenes, and I've put our least favourite scene. I'm not sure exactly how we want to do it. I'm thinking top three favourite characters.
Yeah, you're thinking top three instead of five because you think the last one got boring. When we
listened to it and I was like, oh my God, right, come on, hurry up. This is getting boring.
Yeah.
I think for scenes, it's difficult though. I don't know if we maybe want top three scenes, but probably one least favourite scene or something like that.
Yeah, I think you can do your three favourites and then, yeah, your least as well.
Or just a negative about it. Yeah. I don't know. But
we'll see, because it's going to be very hard for me to decide on season two, I think.
This episode's helping me decide some stuff, so I'm going to note them down in a minute, I think, ready for later.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is us done. This has been a lengthy one today, but I'm really glad that it didn't end up in part one, part two, part three.
Yeah, it would have been our first three-parter. And I mean, what an episode for it to be a three-parter.
Yeah. Although technically the last one wasn't part one because it was the Malevin reunion.
It really was just the reunion. That should have just been its own little episode there and then.
Yeah. But thank you so much, as always, for listening. And we have recently noticed that you can leave reviews on, at the very least, Spotify. There is a way of doing it on the Apple podcast as well, and I'm sure on the others. If you'd like to leave us a review, please do, because we do get them in different formats, usually through fanfiction, and they're lovely to hear. It's so nice to get that feedback. But we've got to say, though, we noticed that we've had some five-star reviews and we were like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd love...
I think there were six of them on Spotify and we were like, oh my God, that means that six people have listened to the podcast.
And seem to like it, yeah.
Yeah, so very exciting.
It would be lovely to get some words from you guys as well.
Yeah.
Whether it's good, whether it's bad, I just love a bit of feedback.
Whether it's stop talking...
Yeah, whether it's shut up, Tom, about season three. Guess what? We're on season three now. You can't tell me to shut up about season three.
And the thing is, we'll say, oh, we'll be fine with it. I probably won't be fine with negative reviews. I probably will cry. But it's okay. You don't need to know that. Only poor Tom's got to deal with that.
It just depends on what your feedback is.
Yeah.
You know? If it's constructive, happy days. If it's... you guys suck, go away.
Then I'll probably cry.
Well, too bad. We're here to stay.
Thank you very, very, very much. We love you guys.
We do indeed. We love doing this and we love you guys for being with us.
See you soon.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sam sees 11, he's in shock, Will being burnt, terrible heat. The tunnel, Hopper and Elle in some kind of elevator.
Elevator.
Elevator?
Elevator.
Oh. Murray watching the lab. Elle's birth certificates. I need to get home. I just read my mum's message.